Good afternoon, everyone. Again, you're welcome to the Debo Tyro Talk Show. And as always, we always bring incredible guests to the house to kind of serenade us with how they started the beginnings to what they're doing today and great projects that they might have in the nearest possible future. Joining us today is a renowned sports journalist with a deep passion for basketball. He's not just a storyteller, but an advocate for the game's growth in Africa. He's known across his social media handles as Incredible Femi. He sometimes describes himself as Anikaye One, right? I have the Femi Adebofeso, Incredible Femi. You're welcome to the Debo Taiwo Talk Show. How are you today, Femi?
I'm good, Devo. Good to speak with you. It's been such a long time.
It's been a long minute
Yeah,
for sure.
very
It's been a
long
long minute.
time.
It's been a long minute.
Great work you're doing. I've watched a few of the show and it's been quite interesting, I must
Thank
say.
you. Thank you. Yes.
You're a good conversationalist.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, coming from you, that's a big deal because you've been around, you do media all the time. So I think that's a credit. I take this, sir. Thanks. I take that. Yeah. So Femi, I know you on a personal note, but a lot of people might not know you on a personal note. So I'd like you to just share with the viewers who'll be seeing you a little bit about your educational background. And let's start from that.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Oluwafemi Adefeso. I am an only son of two kids from my family. Interestingly, I'm the only one that didn't go to last week in my house.
Interesting. Interesting.
Right.
Where did you graduate from again, though?
Yeah, I'm Taijiquan University of Education,
Ah,
interestingly.
never man.
Yeah, a lot of people think I finished from ULAG. I always wanted to go to the lag, but you know what happens now? Jam jams you once, twice, you find an alternative,
I know,
and
right?
then you hope that you will come back, but let me just go with the ride. And
Flow with the way.
I'm glad I went there though,
Okay.
because a lot of the experiences have made me actually, I got shaped when I was in Djibouti then. Trust me, it was like a dead zone, but thank God for life.
That's interesting.
I studied human kinetics,
Okay.
which was formerly called physical and health education, right? But I mean, it has a little bit of additional courses that makes it a bit more thick, human physiology and anatomy and all of that. So kind of like beyond just the sports that you do, on the field. So that's why I studied. So I've always had that passion for sports. It's always been part of my DNA. I played football when I was in school. Interestingly, made the school team for my GSS 2 football, not basketball.
Not basketball. Completely understood.
Yeah, and then became the school goalkeeper. And then I just stuck to goalkeeping because I think the competition there, I could handle it. And for my junior secondary, I was already one of the top players in secondary school. So that kind of built my love for sports generally, being active with football. So on going to the university, even though I wanted to study medicine, my mom dissuaded me, being a medical practitioner herself. And I think she was right. Yeah, she alluded to the fact that, I was too unstable. Like I was very, the words keeps my memory at this time. I just wasn't very mellow enough to sit down and study. I was always
You were all
hyperactive.
over
I
the
always
place.
wanted to be outdoors, but she knew, I was smart enough to study, but she just felt that my temperament wasn't just right.
Wasn't
So
the first.
she just suggested subtly, maybe you should try this client education or human kinetics. So I started doing my research, and then I found out, okay, yeah, sports is something that comes naturally to me. I love it. And then I saw all of these things that, gave me an opportunity to study something that was relating to medicine. So my initial goal was I'll become a sports physiotherapist so I can work for a sports team and then, I'll be traveling all over the world and doing all of that stuff. And that was really, what came to mind at the time. And then by the time I started, things started changing. Do I really want to do this thing? Then I wanted to just pursue being an athlete. So it was in my second year in university, I stumbled into basketball. I see it, with every sincerity that I stumbled into basketball. It
Now,
wasn't my first choice.
Now, let me can I push you there for 1 second?
Yes.
You are the incredible Femi, and that name is not just like you coined it out, like obviously great name, but you also have an incredible height. How tall are you again? Are you 6'2"?
I'm actually 6'4" without shoes. 6'4" and a few centimeters without shoes, but 6'5" with my shoes on.
How come you stumbled into basketball only in your second year university?
You asked the same question, right? But interestingly, I wasn't always that tall when I was in secondary school. So my growth sprout started in between that waiting period when you're about to enter into university, and then my year one. Then I started growing, tall, but I was average height, generally before then. So,
As for your height, you can typically just get the ball and just dunk it, right?
yeah, a lot of people assume that,
That's
but
the
that's
assumption.
also erroneous because
That's
on the
hilarious.
basketball court, there are a lot of tall guys. Trust me, the guys you see on TV, I'm going to be one of the shortest guys.
What?
You yeah, all those guys. The average height in the NBA is 6'7". I'm just 6'5".
Average height.
Yeah, the
That's
average.
interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I
I
would have assumed maybe like 6'1" or 6'2" might be the average height, but like
mean, and so there are
seven.
a few guys who are 6 feet. In fact, there's almost nobody that is below 6 feet, right? Maybe one, two, three guys, yeah,
Question for you,
exception.
random question for you. How tall is LeBron James?
LeBron James is 6'9".
What? He
Yeah,
doesn't
LeBron James is
look
6'9".
that tall on TV though.
That's what I'm saying, right? Until you get close to him, then you realize, oh, this guy is tall. And then you have a lot of guys who are 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot, 7'1", 7'2",
God. Oh
seven
my
three,
God. Oh
seven
my God.
four.
Okay.
So you can understand that 6'5" now is like bottom of the pyramid.
I see that. I
You
see that.
the way you play, yeah,
I
but
see
yeah,
that.
you need that athleticism, you need that height and all. So, I mean, my second year, I remember I was one of those lecturers who came in. I was like, you guys, we cannot be preparing for a competition, and then we have students in this department that are not representing the school, right? So it's sort of like, twisted us into going to the field that day. And I remembered, I was like, I'm not going to play football again because now you're in university, you want to be fresh, you're feeling, for the girls. I was like, I can't be throwing myself on the floor and be getting
As a
dirty.
goalkeeper trying to
You
make a
understand?
save, right?
So I needed to find another sport, right? Even though, to be fair, I played a little bit of basketball in secondary school, right? So it's not like I've never seen basketball before.
Apparently, of course.
Right, but I mean, football was the thing. We just played when maybe we were waiting for our turn to play our soccer game or something, because we never had a basketball court in my secondary school, So
Gotcha.
I just said, okay, you know what? I'll go play basketball. Actually, I have an idea of actually all the games, at least I can play at an average level of actually many sports. So I went to the basketball court, and I remember immediately after practice, the coach was like, "Hey, young man, where have you been?" I've been in school, studying my book. I came here to read. I was
Interesting.
like, I want to see you here tomorrow,
That's interesting.
right? And cut long story short, I made the squad, right, for the school. Of course, there were a lot of 400 level guys and all of that, so they wanted them to play because of their last year. And I was on that team. I didn't play any match. Then there was another competition which was now statewide. It was called Gateway Institutions Game Gatig. I remember then I represented the school and I played. And then a scout from the Ogun State Sports Commission called me aside. And they were like, they wanted me, they were offering me an invitation to join the state camp for
What?
the Gateway Games. This was in 2006. I'm like, wait, am I that good? So before then, it didn't really click, like. Yeah, so I'm like, wait, I came, I missed school team. Now I'm here, I'm state.
Yeah,
I
going
said, how far?
like,
What's
what's
going on here?
happening?
Yeah, so it was an awakening that came to me very quickly. But of course, there was a gap now. I'd not imagine how many years you've not played competitively, you've not learned the fundamentals. All of those gaps were in my game because there were so many loopholes. So that was where the hunger for basketball then came. And then everything about doing physiotherapy was just on the side. Well, let me focus on playing basketball professionally. So that's how the journey started,
That's
you know.
interesting. That's an that's go for it.
Yeah, so that's how the journey started, my passion for basketball, because I
Okay.
then became obsessed about the idea of being the next Hakeem Olajuwon. Practiced every day, played every competition, traveled to Lagos. So I was in Lagos. I was at UNILAG almost every other time. That's why I'm very, a lot of people think I finished. There are even lecturers in UNILAG today who think I finished from UNILAG.
Yeah, that's
Because
impressive.
I would come around, be at the sports center, I would play games, or every competition I would go, and that was just my dream then. But then reality dawned. By the time I was done with school, because obviously, by the time I realized that my interest in basketball was probably 19 thereabouts. And of course, you already know, you're already past the age of development, right? And so for basketball, the best place to be is in the US, right? Come to, I mean, you do always go through the NBA. The NBA draft always goes through, the college route, which is the formula for getting to the NBA, even though these days now they are scouting players from Europe. And but then it was you have to go to a college, even if it's just 1 year, you spend there in the NCAA, then they draft you. But unfortunately for me, because of my age and the level of skill that I had, I couldn't go straight to college, right? But there were opportunities to go to high school. Now, this is test number one for me in life, which is one of the things that shaped me, right? So I had a decision to make. It was either I falsify documents at my age, and then I get what they call an I-20, which is a student visa to come to prep school in America or college. By then, I was like maybe 20, 21, and then you're looking for 14-year-olds,
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's primarily the allegation that they say happens around footballers, or soccer players from some developing countries where they,
right.
application of ages and all of that stuff. But anyways, yeah, that's
Yeah,
it.
those things are very valid, and I won't blame them. I would chime in a little bit on why that happens, and that's one of the things that also drives, my passion for the growth of the game on the continent and the non-profit that I run currently.
Oh, that's interesting.
I got all of those opportunities to go to Italy, to go to Germany, to go to the US, but then, they're needing a child that was 5 years younger, 6 years younger. And so I had to make a hard call. Do I want to go this route or do I want to keep pushing? So I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I would, see what I can do for myself to grow my, talent to be elite enough. Because already there was a deficit, because all these other years I wasn't playing, I wasn't practicing, I wasn't learning the fundamentals of the game. Just what you watch on TV or what you saw people play. So I was just playing what I knew. Right, but then I realized that for you to take this thing to seven, there's a boy somewhere who, from the age of
That's all he's done
eight,
from his life, like all of his life.
exactly,
I get it.
you can't just stumble into it at 19, and then
I get it.
you want to grow in it. So I gave myself my youth service year, right, that I was going to use that year to define whether or not I would play. So I practiced every day. I served in choir state, by the way. So I always go to Ilorin every weekend, train with the choir Falcons or the choir team that were at the stadium. I try to see how I could improve myself. Then sometimes I'll come to Lagos, join a few academies, just try to upskill and develop all of those fundamentals. But it wasn't easy because short space of time, so much work. Because I just told myself that if at 20 or 21 I couldn't sign a professional contract with the way I was, then it means I'm not good enough. Right, so I wouldn't. So I did that 1 year, it passed. Then I came to Lagos, I came back to Lagos. I gave myself another 6 months to join a team and try and learn. So I joined Jordan Warriors Academy for a bit. I noticed it wasn't working, they weren't having my time, they had their own program. I switched to National Stadium, joined Raptors Academy also, and then. Again, so it wasn't like my skill level wasn't good. What was that I had missed? Because for me to have gone so quickly, and some people could identify that I was
Identify that you
talented
were good
enough.
enough to move from the school team to the state team, then you definitely had some potentials for sure.
Exactly. So the potential was there, but there were fundamentals that were lacking, and I was aware of it, for myself. So, but I mean, and as I was wasting more time, I was
Time
getting
is
older.
going, time is growing.
Yeah, and you know what happens there. So I sat down one day and I had to make a hard call. Second-hand car. Do you want to keep pursuing this, or do you want to find something else? So I thought to myself, and I realized that, look, what my mom told me then, I was too restless. That was the word I was looking for earlier. I was too restless, to actually do a regular 9 to 5, like sit behind the desk, for a couple of hours and get assignments done and stuff. Now I'm doing though because I'm forced to, right? But then it looked like this thing cannot work for me. So I just thought about it that this sports thing, I still have passion for it. What else can I do in the ecosystem of sports? Yeah. So first option was to go back to my sports physiotherapy thing. Second option was to become a sports journalist.
Interesting.
Right. So
And then you found the passion.
yeah, and then
Developed. Yeah. Go for
yeah, so as I was thinking about it again, then I remember one comment my mom used to make, especially when sports is around. Femi, you talk too much, right? She says she used to say that a lot growing up because sports was always on TV. I'll do all the analysis, I'll not allow them watch, I'll be doing all of those things. So it just clicked in my memory. Oh, Femi, maybe this sports thing I can actually talk on. And then my radio was always on Brilla FM. I used to listen to all the sports
Of
shows.
88.9 at the time. Yeah, I remember.
All the sports shows on TV. You would move from LTV, the Godwin to Sport Extra with Michelle Obi to the guys
Wallace
at
Carter, Wallace
OGT,
Carter,
Wally Sports,
Silver Bird.
exactly, Silver Bird.
Yeah.
I would like every morning I had like a routine, hour by hour, go same thing on radio, as well. So I followed, right? And I didn't know that was building something up in me. So I was like, okay, you know what? I want to do sports journalism. So the money I saved from youth service, I still had some. I decided to enroll in Nigeria Institute of Journalism, at Ogba, and to do a postgraduate diploma in broadcasting. I focused on broadcast, but mass communication. So it was there, I started that journey in sports journalism. That was around 2012, late 2012, into 2013. Then I decided I wanted to have experience while, I was, learning journalism. And I think I need to say this too. So the reason why I also took journalism seriously by going to school first was because I was fighting, the ghost that haunted my basketball career. I felt because I didn't learn
You didn't
and
learn.
have the fundamentals, I lost that career. So
Gotcha.
I was deliberate about going into this, knowing that, look, this one, I'm going to
I'm gonna
learn
go.
everything. I have all the body of knowledge, regardless of my passion or my talent that
Okay.
I have. I'm going to focus on acquiring the right level of skill and knowledge. So while I was at NIJ, I was volunteering on radio at Unilag Radio, as a reporter, right? So we're always on every morning. And I remember one of the decisions I made, aside from my passion for basketball, was I needed to be different. I wanted to be spotted easily, so I chose basketball. Yes, because I played that was one, but the real major reason was I just wanted to create a niche for myself and differentiate myself. Because then we all talked about Man U, Chelsea, Arsenal, EPL, MPFL. I followed all those things because that was the bragging thing. Because you listen to it on radio, you watch it on TV,
Course.
and all. But basketball wasn't common, so I just felt somebody's doing basketball. I think I should take on that role to become the guy, that focuses on basketball. And I remember the first ever CV I wrote. I put it there that to be the best, as my mission, to be the best basketball reporter in West Africa.
That's interesting.
And interestingly too was that a job interview actually updated that line, from instead of West Africa to to Africa. I went for an interview at Beat FM, and I remember, I think the woman's name is Amira Okoli or something. Amira, I remember her first name. And I sat, across the table, and she was asking me about my passion and all of that. And I said it, and she was like, why am I limiting myself to West Africa? Why
Why
not Africa?
Africa?
And
Was this
I,
interview for the role of a sport journalist as well?
yes, it was a role for a sports manager. Although I didn't get that, interesting story why I didn't get that job. I got the job, but I gave it away
We gave it away.
because Yeah, I gave it away because part of my bargain was that I would, because before then, so I started volunteering
Unilag
at
FM.
Unilag FM 2012. So I did that, late 2012. So I did that into 2013. So by that 2013, I started traveling to cover the Nigeria League and then even the national team. Because 2013, I
A
think it
question
was
for
in
you about
August.
that one. Were you doing that freelance? Was it a freelance covering
Yes,
which you were doing?
it was freelance. I was unpaid,
You were unpaid.
I was unpaid. Was a volunteer thing. But while I was there, I was so passionate that I didn't really care. I remember I would prepare for, I mean, radio was a 15-minute show, right? In a 15-minute show, you talk about everything. I had maybe 2 minutes to talk about basketball, like give a report of what happened the night before and all of that. I mean, I leave the house maybe 4:35 because the show is 7:30. You need to prepare. Some games are still on when I leave the house. It's NBA, right? So they play too late in the morning here. And I remember, then you study, study, study. You get all the statistics because you have to run and rap and do all of that stuff. But I was enjoying it, right? So I was enjoying it so much that I was like, I always got good comments from students in school. Even people outside were listening to you, like with them were big. So I decided, you know what, I'll focus on the national teams as well. So in 2013, I told our head of sports, Nshiyomaji, that I wanted to go cover the Nations Cup for basketball. It was in Cote d'Ivoire. They were not paying me. They did not have money. They didn't have anything. I said, no, well, I'll find a way as long as, I mean, I know that I'm not impersonating and they give me ID card and all that. So they got me an ID, did all that stuff. And I took a 2-day road trip to Cote d'Ivoire. That's another audacious thing I've
Oh
done.
my, 2 day road trip. How many
Road trip.
hours is it by road? I mean, to travel by road to Cote d'Ivoire.
So I did a
That's
2-day road trip, interestingly,
two
right?
road trip.
But it's not as long as 2 days, right? You could use technically 1 day, right?
I get it.
So the mistake. So I left. I can't remember the time I left Lagos. So what I did was, I wanted to go with, what's the name of this? I think it was Young Shall Grow or something, right? But there are days of the week that they travel, right?
So you have
So
then have to go with a different.
exactly.
Oh
Because if I wanted to go, then it means I had to wait like a week and then maybe Nigeria would have played all their group
my
games and all of
God.
that. So there was no point. So I
Right.
took a bus going to Ghana, going to Accra. Then from Accra,
Then
I
you
took
then
another bus to Abidjan.
I get it.
So,
I get it. I
in case,
have many more questions to ask you, Femi. So let me ask you a few more questions here before my time
right.
out. So I wanted to find out, obviously, thank you again for the great summary of how your incredible passion for basketball and not being able to play at the professional league then motivated you to start a career as a sports journalist focusing on basketball. And apparently, like you rightly said, you wanted to carve a niche for yourself. And I think you have done that successfully well. I've been watching you on TV for God knows how long, maybe about 10 years now, or even a little more, or maybe less, you can clarify. But you've done it incredibly well. I wanted to find out what has been the most challenging part of covering basketball in Nigeria or Africa. Of course, you just talked about that badly, about traveling, pro bono to Ivory Coast on a 2-day trip. But do you have more, what other challenges do you have as well?
I mean, quite a lot, right? First of all, basketball is not as popular, right, as football.
No, it's not.
So, most guys will probably get sponsorship or partnerships to go cover the African Football Cup of Nations, AFCON.
Of
It's
course.
easier because brands are jumping in. I don't want to drop names of brands, right? But I mean, yeah, except you
Ellie.
give, but you want to give them free advert,
No, well, we don't. I completely understand. Like a lot of brands jump in. Yeah, you can't. I get it. I get it.
So a lot of them jump in, so they have one thing or the other, whether behind the scenes content or with the teams or with the tournament itself. So I mean, journalists get opportunity to travel. All expense paid. But for me, I mean, every travel I've made, I say it with all boldness, every travel I've made, every single travel I've made with regards to sports has been on my own deal.
That's
Right. Yeah, so that's been one of the huge sacrifices. When I was going to the US, to for the All-Star weekend, NBA glasses in games, it was Afro Baskets. I've been fortunate to have attended five Afro Basket Championship. So that's the African Basketball Nations Cup, both male and female. God bless me with being around for two wins. When the male guys won in 2015 in Tunisia, I was there. That was our first Afro Basket. And then when the girls started this dynasty, in 2017 in Bamako, I was there as well. All of those things. So there's always the misconception that, oh, maybe you're flying under the wings of the Federation, because I was the only journalist there, by the way. So they had to give me access. They didn't have a choice, right? Because there was nobody to promote or propagate what was going on around the teams, So I had a lot of media houses who would call me from there, oh, please come and have an interview. And all that's one of the challenges. They don't want to pay, for those exclusives. Interestingly.
That's not the best. Like, how do you then source for funds consistently to make these trips? I mean, leaving Nigeria to the States these days definitely will cost a lot of money. Even it's always been expensive, but these days will be a lot more expensive. How do you source for funds? You have people who sort of support you. I mean, like, they love the game sometimes, they send you stuff like we hear people do, like fans, sort of.
Let me speak Nigerian English. I pray. That's a very interesting question, right? So first of all, I've come to understand that, this cannot be my primary source of income, right? As much as, I love it and I think it can actually generate revenue.
It will.
So I found a way to find something else that would help me fund this,
Oh, that's
right?
interesting. Okay.
It's just a smart way to go about it.
Yeah.
Also, on the second part is I've been able to also work for some international media organizations. So I found out very quickly that since this local guy, if I limit myself, I would not be able to achieve anything. So I've had the opportunity of doing stuff for the likes of BBC,
Oh, wow,
the
that's
likes of
interesting.
ESPN,
Hey, good.
Africa, CGTN. So I've had, pieces like that I had done that they've ended up, paying some money that has maybe covered up for maybe hotel, 50%, just cover up for things,
But some stuff,
basically.
yeah, which is a lot
So
better.
officially, I don't know if I should be saying it, but officially, I haven't actually broken even on any of my
I
dreams.
mean, but we know you, we see what you're doing and your love for the game. Hopefully, definitely it's gonna happen. You're gonna break even, and then you would say, oh yeah, I can, potentially make X amount of money with any career at the moment. So that's how Yoruba says it. Orukomaroyan. So you're on the way. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, I believe so. But it's been good too, right? Because you have all these goals and you're
Yeah,
achieving them.
exposures that you that
Yeah, and you just realize that, for everything in life, there's a price to pay, right? So you look at it and you're like, if this is the price to pay to achieve this, well, let's pay the price now,
Now and
right?
then let what
And
happened.
build all these things, because I also believe that there's a compound interest, that is going to come, like you say. I'm very positive, but you
Definitely.
just have to
For
keep
you, I've
moving.
been at this for about 10 years or 10 years,
Yeah,
but definitely
over 10
gonna
years,
happen. That's consistency. Like that's I give you like thumbs up, double one. Like it's definitely gonna happen. What is the who's the biggest name that you have interviewed yet? And if you had an opportunity to pick a basketball legend, who are you looking forward to interviewing? So that's like a double-barred question. We have about 5 minutes left, so I like to keep this
Wow.
show to allow me
Wow.
to skip.
Okay. Who have I interviewed? I think the biggest
Who's the
name I've
biggest name?
interviewed is LeBron. I interviewed LeBron James in
That's
2018.
impressive.
That interview is pinned on my Instagram. I asked him about, coming to Africa. That was when, the Black Panther movie was kind of
Yeah,
like in vogue. And I mean,
yeah.
and that's I think that was even the beginning of this renaissance for going back home, Africa, people going to Ghana, coming to Nigeria, and Dirty December really began to become something. Everybody started coming home, because there are a lot of developmental projects that needs that awareness. So yeah, LeBron, I don't want to go into all those details.
Yeah, fair.
Who would I wish to interview now? Hakeem Olajuwon, definitely.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
I was fortunate to be a part of the book that was written about him.
Okay.
Marian Feda wrote that book. It came out this October. I think a lot of people
Wow.
should go read that book.
Oh, yeah,
I
sure.
interviewed some of his coaches in Nigeria, some of his teammates. It's very incredible. He's somebody who doesn't like media, but I would really love the opportunity to sit down and talk to him. Michael Jordan, obviously, as
Definitely.
well, is another human being I would really love to sit with and
All
talk
right.
to, because he's transcended,
Yeah.
beyond the sports,
Yeah,
beyond just
definitely.
basketball,
Michael Jordan is an
sports.
household name, 100%, 100%. That's really good. And then quickly, can you in a few minutes tell us exactly what projects or collaborations you're currently working on? That's one question. And then I also say, if someone is looking forward to becoming a basketball sport journalist as you are, we already know that there's a lot of perseverance, there's a lot of financial sacrifice, but would there be anything else that you can share with them that can help them grow a sport career in basketball? So those are my final questions for you. Just in like 3 minutes for both of those questions, if you can.
Okay, sorry, the first one again, very quickly.
So the first one again is, what exciting projects or collaborations are you?
Okay, projects. So I started a non-profit called BALL, BALL, Balls Activism,
Oh.
Literacy and Leadership, and basically it's advocacy for education and understanding the sports value chain. So education for athletes and people who want to go into sports, so that they can, if they can't play professionally, they can end up like me, finding the other career paths in the value chain.
Makes
So
sense.
we tend to expose them to that value chain
That's
and
impressive.
then look for elite training for some of those kids. Then we donate sports equipment, because I came up with a theory that maybe if I touched the basketball when I was much earlier in my years, I probably would have developed all the things that I thought I didn't have. So we donate equipment and all of that. We've been able to reach out to about 3,000 kids so far. We've donated 2,000, beg your pardon. We've donated about 300, things. So we partner with a few friends who send me shoes,
Oh, that's
some I buy and all of that. And we focus on, Ajegunle, Ijora, all those
get it. I
places
get
where,
it. I get it.
those who cannot really afford it, but they
Yeah.
need that exposure. For somebody who wants to go into sports journalism, I think first of all is you need passion, right? If you don't love it, you get tired. Because in Nigeria, it's not exactly as lucrative, right? Got so good, I've been able to grow my tentacles outside, of even the continent. So some days, those are like the validations you get that you have value and you're bringing value to the table,
Right
you
now,
know.
you're talking to me from the city of lights, like the bright light city, right? Like,
Right.
I don't want to
I
expose
mean,
your location, but anyway, I'm just messing with you.
yeah, no, it's okay. You can, I can say that I'm in New York,
I
right?
know, right? I know, yeah.
Which is great. I mean, also it's from networking, and a few things that has got me here. I was in the NBA office a couple of days ago, and I just posted, a video of some of the things that I saw, and it's incredible how much you can achieve. But if you are focused on the traveling, focused on snapping pictures with people, meeting all of those things, they are not the real reward. And don't worry, trust me, you won't get the drive to push, because like they say, everything that is great, it's kind of hard, right? Then you need to know your stuff, right? Beyond just the average guy. Everybody has the stats now. Everybody watches the game. So what do you bring that
What are
makes
you
you
doing with it?
stand, that makes you unique? So you need to find that stuff. Is it in the hardcore facts? Is it in the way you present? Is it in your poise? Is it in the data, that analytics that you use? You have to find something that defines you. So easily people can say, "Oh, I know this guy for this."
For what he
If
does.
you say Stephen A. Smith, if you say Skip Bayless, you can tell, So everybody needs to stand for something. And I think that's one thing you need to find. What's your style that suits you, that makes you really, identifiable? Those are the real key things that you need. And then you need support, right? You need support. It's always going to be difficult, but there are times you need people to just, lean on, you need a team to, be able to push you to do stuff at times as well. So those are will be like the pointers I'll give, because I know you are racing against time.
Yeah, sure. Thank you again, Femi Adifeso, known as Incredible Femi, a renowned sports basketball journalist from Nigeria, but he's taking Nigeria to the global map. He's always everywhere around the world, bringing insightful analytics around basketball for lovers of the game of basketball. Do you have any final words for me, Femi, before we call it a wrap?
I just want to say kudos to you. Well done for taking this. I think you're onto something amazing, right? In fact, I've been thinking about starting a podcast, but I mean, coming on and just having this conversation is inspiring. To say the
Should, if you're
very
thinking
least.
about it, you should start a podcast and would definitely listen to it. That's also another way that you can use your expertise to generate some income. You have a lot of networks, so definitely I would encourage you to start for sure.
Right,
Think about
yeah.
it.
So,
Just do it.
right,
Take
I'll
it out.
think about it because
Definitely
I
take
have
it
so
out.
many things I'm
I
worried
know,
about.
right?
But
I
yeah,
know. I know. I know.
it's something that I'm definitely going to work on. Hopefully, before I go back to Nigeria, I'll start work on it very quickly. To thank you for that. Thank you for that.
The
But
list.
overall, yeah, that's it. Debo, you're doing great, something great. I like it. It's fun to listen. It's fun to watch. I'm excited about the future of this. Hopefully, we'll celebrate 1,000 episodes at some point, and who knows, maybe a watch party for
Right.
all your interviewees at
Hopefully,
some point.
thank you so much again, Femi, for gracing, for being a guest on the Debo Taiwo Talk Show. And it's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and we hope basketball lovers.